We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. Hey, there's a tweet that came out from Brett Baer. When did it come out? This morning, I guess? Yeah, this morning, apparently. It says, Brett Baer from Fox News says, the challenge for the Harris campaign trying to be the, quote, change agent. Well, they finally added an issues section to the website. I told you about that earlier, how they just finally put the policies up, right? It includes a slew of policies the campaign has previously outlined, as well as sections on reproductive and civil rights, meaning abortions and civil rights. Unfortunately for Harris, its release was undermined by a simple but telling error, he says. The page's source code reveals that parts of the platform were copied directly from Biden's campaign page. You know, okay, you might say, well, Phil, I mean, she was running on that for like a year and a half, right? Yeah, so the question is, if all you're going to do is cut and paste from the other website, what took you 2 months to do? Why did it take you 2 months? Why are you slinging it up there? Like, what'd you just do? Go, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Just get something off the Biden site. I don't know. We got to put something up. Get something up. That's what happened. That's just unreal. Let me get a bunch of text messages from you guys. Y'all are some texting machines today. If you want to text it or call it, the number is the same for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Let me scroll down and go from the oldest to the newest. Navy Phil from Athens says, Mike from Huntsville feeds at the Democrat trough of propaganda. That is likely true. JT Lacey Springs says, Mike, we don't agree, but we like you. See, Mike, it's unconditional love, brother. That just means we love you in spite of yourself. Pam from Athens says, what I meant to have... Oh, I'm sorry. She sent me something early. Oh, say, Pam was the one who asked about the Alabama government not having a plan. She says, what I meant was to have a plan in place to get the illegals out of the state immediately. Alabama's not a sanctuary state. There are no sanctuary cities here. Also, by the way, why the new term migrant instead of illegal? They are here illegally. I agree. They're illegal aliens. They're illegal migrants, whichever one you prefer. Illegal immigrants or whatever. But they're definitely here illegally. Okay, so I get your point. So you're saying there should be charter buses ready to take them to other places. Okay. I think the point is well taken, and we don't have a governor right now who's willing to do that. That's the only answer I can give you. David from Huntsville says, what matters more than the debate is what people would Harris bring into her administration and Supreme Court nominees as opposed to Trump's picks. I agree. The people that make the policy, help effect the policy, and who then preside over the questions of policy in its constitutionality in the court system. You're right, David, that's huge. Brian from Decatur says, the main obstacle this country has for success is most Democrats only watch and regurgitate what CNN produces. They look at no other input sources. They have no critical thinking for what is happening right in front of their eyes. They require talking heads to tell them what it all means, and now I understand how Hitler was able to do what he did. Listen, Brian, if you want to read a book on that, a great book on that, by the way, it's by Andy Andrews, who's from Alabama, by the way, called How to Kill 11 Million People. The question was, how did the Nazi Party exterminate 11 million people? And the answer really is because no one was willing to bravely ask them questions before they put their policies into effect. So, great point. Jim Grove Oak says, what do you think the odds are that Kamala was given the debate topics last week? By the way, he said, I draw the line at possum. Ain't no possum, ain't no greens. What do I think? I mean, you know what? I put nothing by them. We'll see. I mean, I don't know what the odds are, but we know what happened for Hillary, right? Dave from Madison, is Right Side Broadcasting on YouTube covering the debate tonight? That's a different company, but my understanding is they are not, but you can watch it on Fox if you don't want to watch it on ABC. All right, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Immigration Nation Part 2. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean it when I say it. I'm talking about Alabama, y'all, Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I'm going to remind you guys again, Inspire Advisors is one of our advertisers. They are like doing some really cool stuff. So I know this audience, y'all are the kind of people that stand up for what you believe in. You're also the kind of people that care about, you know, the things that you invest in. You want to impact your bottom line the right way, but you also care about the narrative that things, you know, portray. You may be shocked to find out that there's stuff in your investment portfolio, though, that, I mean, if you looked at it in detail, you might find that it supports abortion or pornography or other things that are absolutely contrary to your personal beliefs. Well, that's why Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors are really making waves right now, because they're teaching people how to do what's called biblically responsible investing. BRI, it's a thing. So biblically responsible investing. How do you make sure that you're not investing in woke policies and anti-conservative policies? Well, they can help you with that. They can sit down with you for free. No fuss, no muss, no upsell. Just show you what's in your portfolio, maybe reveal to you a few things you weren't aware were there, and then even talk to you about how to find biblically aligned alternatives. Well, if you want to know about BRI, if you want to meet Paul Breyer and his team personally, they'd love to meet you. And the only thing you got to do to get a free meeting with them is go to their website and set one up. Their website is www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or for that matter, just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Click on the radio sponsors tab and go to their logo. It takes you right to their website. So yeah, Inspire Advisors. Y'all, this is like godly, it's balanced, it's conservative, it's financial freedom. So check it out. All right, we're going to move to the next topic. I got several text messages. Let me just grab those real quick. Mike from Huntsville again. He says, the police say immigrants eating pets is false. Do you believe everything you read on the internet? Mike, apparently you do. Teresa from Town Creek sent me a meme. What did she send me? Oh, I'm not reading that on the air. Thank you, Teresa. Devin from Brownsboro says, hey, Phil, just now tuning in. You might have already said it, but do they have a finalized agreement on the rules for tonight's debate? Yeah, I did cover it. The rules are, it's a stand-up debate, no notes. You're not allowed to go longer than 2 minutes. They will turn off your microphone at the end of your 2 minutes. There are no opening statements, and there will be a 2-minute closing statement for each candidate when it's over. The only thing I don't know, and I don't recall this, if somebody knows, you can tell me, is there an audience or not? I don't know, because remember the Biden debate, it was just an empty room. It was the moderators and the two candidates in June. I'm not sure what they're doing on this one. JT Lacey Springs says, I'm curious how much laughing and cackling Kamala Harris will do, and to which one would assume Trump asks, what's so humorous? Yeah, we'll see how it goes. All right, let me switch gears. So if you were listening yesterday, you heard U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville on the show. He talked to us, I think, about a thing called the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act is an acronym for Safeguard American Voter Eligibility. It's a law being proposed, already passed once by the House, that would require proof of citizenship to be allowed to vote, like when you register. Well, Phil, it's already illegal to vote in, you know, as a non-citizen in federal elections. Yes, it is. And guess what? They do it anyway. Well, it doesn't happen very often. What's your point? If we have 11 million illegals that have made it into the country since Biden took office, 11 million, and only a small percentage of those tries to register to vote, like the lady, by the way, who was arrested last week in Alabama and made national news, who voted in the 2016 and 2020 elections as an illegal alien. But if that happens, if only a percentage, I don't know, what's that mean? Let's break it down. What is 5% of, let's round it down to 10 million. 5% would be what, 50,000? Oh, that's too many, Phil. Not that many. Oh, well, okay, then maybe half of that, 25,000 for 2.5%. Am I doing my math right? I think I am. Would that, in a close election right now, we're neck and neck. Does that have an impact? Potentially so, especially in places like New York or in Pennsylvania or in major metro areas where there have been large influxes of illegals. So listen, Tuberville was on yesterday talking about the SAVE Act. Republicans in D.C. right now are threatening to shut down the government by tying the SAVE Act to the continuing resolution that is basically like the budget patch, because they never can get a budget passed anymore. They can't do it. It's just apparently beyond them. You and I have to balance the budgets at our house. In Alabama, our legislature has a mandatory balanced budget requirement in the Constitution. There's no balanced budget requirement in D.C. They just keep doing a continuing resolution, which is like the way of saying, what we did last time, we're just going to do it again for six more months. So they do this every 6 to 8 months. It's ridiculous. But the Republicans are saying, nope, you tie the SAVE Act to it, or we're not going to pass the CR. Really? Okay. So, by the way, I've got some mathematicians who are squaring me away on my bad math, and I appreciate it. And I'll get to that in a minute. Biden's already come out. Story on the Daily Wire came out last night. President Joe Biden will veto the House GOP proposal to combine a short-term spending measure with an election integrity bill. Why? Why? Why doesn't he want it? Why would he do that? Well, first of all, I have to ask the question, does he know he's doing that? Has he been told he would veto it? Or is he, you know, is this a statement being put out that this is what we would do? Don't you make us hold his pen to the paper and actually help him sign? Anyway, instead of working in a bipartisan manner to keep the government open and provide emergency funding for disaster needs, House Republicans have chosen brinksmanship, said the Office of Management and Budget. What they're basically saying is, how dare you use the power of the purse, you appropriators, you? Yeah. Proponents of the SAVE Act argue the bill is necessary to shore up security of the voting process. Is it? I don't know. I mean, I think it is. I don't think it's unreasonable. And I recognize that there will be some people who would be like, you mean I got to find my birth certificate or I got to find, what do I have to, I don't know. The legislation would provide what the required proof is. But right now, we are seeing arrests. We're also seeing some blue areas that are actually signing up illegals and giving them a right to vote in local elections, which means they're in the voter database. And you have to imagine that there's potential for corruption of the voter database. So the bottom line is this. Do we trust the Biden administration not to screw this up? No. So why would we not say, let's go ahead and pass the SAVE Act? Well, because it's unnecessary. It's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. You have people that are messing with our systems left and right. Why would it be unnecessary? Okay, Immigration Nation, there's one update. Here's another update. Let's switch gears. Then there's a whole bunch of so-called legal illegals. What? Yes. So the Biden-Harris administration started back just last week with a plan that had obviously fallen apart. It's a special parole program. Let's see, it's the Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Haiti. The CNH, now I'm losing track. Cuba, C, Nicaragua, N, Haiti, and Venezuela. Yeah, CNHV. The CNHV parole program. What they're basically doing is they have said, we think those areas are so bad that we're just going to help people get out of there. We're just going to go fly them here. They get on the app. They tell us they're scared. We fly down, pick them up, bring them here. What? Yeah. And so the program, this CNHV parole program, brings them in. They have no citizenship, but they did fill out the app. Okay. And then they get here and they're released into the country with a date to come back. They're on parole. They have a date to come back for reporting. Good luck with that. Alabama's been experiencing this. Marshall County, the Guntersville, Albertville, Boaz area has seen busloads of Haitian migrants who are allegedly here on the parole program because someone decided that where they live was too scary and needed to. And by the way, it is scary. It's a mess. Haiti is an absolute wreck right now. Haiti has turned into the Somalia of the Western Hemisphere. Haiti is an absolute wreck. But that being said, does that mean we have to go get them and bring them here? I don't understand. Why is it our job to import people who are not able to manage where they are? I don't know. So Sylacauga is one of those towns. And listen, this is our backyard. Sylacauga, that's where I used to go there. My great-grandparents lived there. My granddaddy grew up there. Sylacauga, neat little town, beautiful little town. Sylacauga's mayor, Jim Heigl, is now apologizing. Really? Yep. Story by Erica Thomas on 1819 News came out last night. Sylacauga Mayor Jim Heigl is apologizing for the confusion that were caused by his statements. Here's what happened. I'll paraphrase it for you. He was caught off guard by busloads of Haitian migrants showing up in downtown for work. People are like, whoa, whoa, where did these people just come from? Who's busing them in? Busing them from where? Are they illegal? Are they legal? Do we know anything about them? How do busloads of people just show up in our city? Well, Heigl says, I've been checking into it, and I was told they're all here legally. It's okay. Governor Kay Ivey's office and Senator Britt's office and Tuberville's office and U.S. Representative Mike Rogers, they all told me it was okay. He literally said that. Now he's not saying that. I guarantee you, he got a call from the office of each one of those saying, we never told you that. You better back off. So now Mayor Jim Heigl is going, well, it wasn't really like that. So 1819 News asked him, did you get that in a letter for him? Well, I mean, I just heard that they were legal. You heard it from Britt and Tuberville and all of them, 1819 asked. Well, I contacted them and I asked why, and I got the answer that they're here doing contact. I don't know where they came from either. That's all I know. But then Governor Ivey's office told you that, 1819 News asked. And that's when, you know, Ivey's office has actually issued a statement saying, we've never had any communication with the mayor over this issue. Why would he do that? Because he was caught off guard, and apparently he's not used to leading under duress. And so he actually says, if my previous statements indicated, you said it. If my previous statements indicated there was confusion or confirmation of legal status for those individuals, I apologize for the confusion. And during my recent conversations with the governor's office and other state legislators, none ever confirmed specific knowledge regarding immigrants. So, yeah, basically he said it was like I had some phone calls and things, but he got called out. He got called out hard. All right, listen, we're gonna wind up taking a break right now. I'm looking over realizing I have a caller on the line. Is that Kareem? All right, so we'll tell you what, we'll take a break right now. When we get back from the break, Kareem will be on the phone with us, and we'll see what he has to say and what his predictions are for the debate tonight. How about that? Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We're back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I got plenty of text messages, and I'm going to get some of those, and I got more to go on this topic about Immigration Nation Part 2. But before I do, he hung on during the break, so let me honor his time. Kareem from Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Sir.
Good, man. How are you?
I'm fine. Listen, let me ask you something, because I listened to Tuberville yesterday, and he said he was on the plane, and he just knew these people was illegal. He didn't look at their papers or anything, so, you know, I guess he has that special ability. But let me ask you something. Out of 12 million people,
12 million,
and all these illegals that they were supposed to have voted on, these are the same people that won't call the police if somebody was to rob them or commit a crime against them. But they're going to put their name on a ballot and vote in the national election.
Yeah.
Are we really supposed to believe that?
Yeah, you are. Because
why?
They do.
Because they want to stay off the radar. Period. They don't want to. They don't want to have no W-2s. They don't want no 1099s. They want straight cash. Why would they put their names anywhere near any kind of official or unofficial paperwork that half of them don't even understand?
Okay. So a couple things. First of all, thank you for admitting that 12 million illegals are here. So there's that. But then the other piece of this is, did you not see the story the other day where they arrested the woman in DeKalb County, Alabama, who had stolen an identity, was here illegally, and voted in both the 2016 and 2022 presidential elections? Did you see that story?
That's one person.
Okay,
we're talking about 12 million people.
So what percentage would you believe of 12 million people? 12 million. What percentage would you believe are the kind who are always law abiding, and what are the ones who are willing to stretch the limits? What's the percentage?
out of the 12 million, as far as them voting, I mean, because I don't think too many of any of them is law-abiding. I already told you how I feel about the immigration situation.
Yeah.
But I would say, what, 20,000? Even if 20,000, they didn't make a scratch. If Trump was supposed to get 71 million votes and Biden got 81 million, that's not even a drop in the bucket. You got more people who can't vote as American citizens because they got a felony on their record. Well, so
first of all, we're not in 2020. Right now, the polls are showing it running neck and neck. So you got 7 to 8 swing states that could change the entire election. And within those 7 to 8 swing states, each one has several counties that are going to be the one that determines what happens in that state. So you literally have the ability for small groups of people to impact the election. If you look back at 2000 election with Bush Gore, it was one county in Florida, one county with 362 votes that they finally had to figure out who they belonged to that changed the entire national election.
I remember that. And yeah. I hated Bush at that time. At that time, I hated Bush, but I would take a Bush today so fast.
I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, but my point is that I think you guys is doing the same thing, just like the libraries and all that. You're trying to scare people. Trying to say, oh, look at it. I mean, like they eating Benji and Lassie, really? We really supposed to believe that Haitians, we're talking about Haitians, who are some of the most health-conscious people on the planet, half of them don't even eat meat. Don't even eat meat. They supposed to be eating your next-door neighbor's dog now?
What do you mean they don't eat meat? Of course they eat meat.
I'm talking about, I know a lot of Haitians.
What is that, a vegetarian country?
That don't eat
You're
meat.
Making crap up now.
I'm telling you the truth. See, that's the problem. You guys don't research this. Y'all just assuming that, they Haitian, so they must be eating.
Listen,
I can see them eating a duck.
Springfield, Ohio.
I don't see them
Let
eating
me ask
no
a question.
Dog.
Springfield, Ohio. Springfield, Ohio. Dude goes to the city council. It's on video. You can watch it. And he says, I don't know why I'm having to come up here and tell you all this, but they're down there at the park killing the ducks and the geese that swim in our public park and eating them. So when he says that to the city council, are we supposed to believe him or believe like you?
I already told you. I said maybe the duck, maybe the geese, because I could see them making something out of that. But from nobody's going to – they're not eating a dog. Isn't that like Chinese culture?
So here's
what – that racist or what I just said? Don't tell the Chinese eat the dog.
No, here's the thing, though. The reality is, if it's happening at all, why should we not care? And then the other piece of it is, are you okay with – like 30,000 coming in from Haiti and Nicaragua and Venezuela and Cuba every month by being flown here on a taxpayer dime and then just dropped off in our communities to figure out what to do?
No.
Okay.
I'm not okay with that. And like I told you, I don't understand why they keep bringing all these people, but I do. I kind of do. Because as far as the workforce is concerned, we as Americans, we won't train our people to do the jobs that need to be done.
That's crap.
So that's why they keep bringing in the Mexicans.
That is crap, and you know it. I reject the notion that Americans won't do the work. That is crap.
They won't.
All right.
We won't
Brother,
train
the
them
music
to do it.
Is playing. You have failed to impress. And by the way, thanks for admitting 12 million illegals are here. All right.
You ever seen an American do drywall? It's horrible.
I'm gone, brother. All right, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Kareem getting the last zinger in. I got to give him props on that one. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, we are 3 hours, 53 minutes, and 54 seconds away from the Trump-Harris debate. We'll see what happens. Both CNN and Fox are talking about it right now. Fox is calling it a make or break night for Trump and Harris to face off, and I think make or break more really for Harris. CNN is reporting that sources are saying that Trump has been advised not to respond if Harris gets under his skin. Well, yeah, that's not rocket science. I mean, if he goes in there and he stays calm, cool, collected, has a few zingers, but without being the guy who's trying to glare down his opposition, then I think he's going to do great. We'll wait and see. I just, depends on which Trump shows up, but I think he's going to do fine tonight. The question is, how is she going to do? Because if she does mediocre and Trump does great, then he wins. If Trump does mediocre and she does mediocre, Trump still wins. If she does very poorly and Trump does poorly, Trump still wins. So she's got to really come out and excel, in my opinion, tonight. We'll see how it goes. JT Lacey Spring says, Kareem's classic comment is, I'd take a Bush right now. He says, conservatism is slowly revealed. Kareem, good to hear from you again, he says. JT Lacey Springs. John from Huntsville says, in my opinion, if you're an illegal immigrant in this country, you can't obey any of our laws because you're breaking the law just by being here. And you're also breaking the law known as trespassing every single second and every single day you stay here. John, I am not arguing that point, brother. Jeremy from Madison says, 10, 20, and 30 years ago, illegals came in and undercut tradesmen in the construction arena. They low-bid American construction workers out of the field. Says, I'm white and I work construction. I know there is black folks who work construction. And then he thinks that Kareem is being racist. Okay. I think Kareem was being tongue-in-cheek. I'll be honest with you. Yes, I have seen Americans hang drywall, but when he said that, it caught me off guard and made me laugh. So that was a hoot. John from Harvest says, Haitians are very health conscious, question mark. He said, oh my, that's funny. He said, they're on the, we don't have enough food in Haiti diet and not by choice. Yeah. I mean, so I'm going to get to this. I tell you what, let me just do this now before I take any more text messages. Let me just go to this article I've got from Daily Wire. I won't get into all of it. It's pretty long. Matt Walsh wrote it, and Matt Walsh usually writes pieces that are fairly lengthy. Let me tell you what it's about. He points out that there was a discussion in 2018 with Donald Trump inside the White House. A number of senators were meeting with him, both parties. And there was discussion about what's known as a visa lottery system. And that's a program, if you're not familiar with, that's a program that has been in place for years, decades, that allows people to come from, to be prioritized to come here from what is known as historically low rates of immigration countries. In other words, if not many people have come here from your country, you get preference. But then at the same time, it also has this kind of we're underrepresented, so we get preference thing going on, and you have to look at it and go, why are we doing this? Well, actually, Trump questioned it, apparently, in the meeting. He specifically wanted to know, why are we awarding visas to people from Haiti, one of the poorest, most dysfunctional countries in the entire world? And there was outrage. The word got out. He said this about Haiti. That's outrageous. It sounds racist. No, it wasn't really. His point was, why aren't we looking at this in terms of we want people to come here and make us a better nation? Why are we reaching out to people just simply because they got it bad where they are and giving them preferential treatment? Why aren't we looking for people that are going to come here and immediately add to the economy and add to the community and who desire to be a part of America and assimilate into the culture? Why are we looking to just open the doors to people simply based upon the fact that they lived in a place that did a really poor job of running what it had? And I don't argue with that point. I'm not talking about not having a heart for people. I'm not talking about, you know, in some way lacking a sense of benevolence or beneficence or a sense of largesse. I mean, there's none of that in what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Trump's policy, if you remember yesterday, I talked about doctrine. His doctrine was America first. And by that token, America first meant that what he was looking for was, how does anything that I do or say as president somehow make America better? His foreign policy was guided by it. His defense policy was guided by it. His economic policies were guided by it. And certainly his domestic policies were guided by it. His whole question was, how do I make America better with this? And so his immediate response to the idea of a lottery that is basically giving preferential treatment to those who come from bad places, he looked at it and said, what's up with this? Why do we do this? And the article points out, nobody else was questioning it. It's like, what? Okay, why are we doing a thing and nobody's bothering to ask about the thing? Just because the thing has been there a while doesn't mean the thing needs to keep happening. It says that no point did anyone in the press or the Democratic Party explain why we need to keep admitting Haitians into the United States. No one addressed Trump's concern, which is that giving Haitians visas simply because they're in Haiti and for no other reason dramatically lowers the quality of life for American citizens. I am not saying Haitians are bad people, but I am saying that they are in a complete mess in Haiti right now. It's a basket case. Perhaps the better solution would be to try to help fix Haiti as opposed to bringing the mess here. But you're going to keep bringing plane loads of people and dropping them off in small town America and ask for it to be okay. It doesn't work that way. If you had a plan for them, that might be different. But there's no plan. Well, they have sponsors. No, they don't. Some do and a lot don't. They shut down the program, this CNHV visa parole program. They shut down the program for about 4 or 5 months because of the corruption in the sponsorship process. They had what they know as serial sponsors, like a single name might sponsor thousands of people. That's not what the sponsorship program is supposed to be. And so I look at this and go, this is a valid question. Why are we doing it this way? Why don't we have anybody in government ask those questions on a regular basis? Like, why do we do the things we do, which includes this visa program? How about this? Stop. Just stop. Just stop taking people in for the moment. Let's get a grip on our policies and procedures. Let's figure out who's here illegally and say, you know what, it's time for you to go. And then we can clean up the processes. And I don't mean amnesty either. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's clean up the means by which people come to our country and what we look for in people who will come to our country. Are you ready to be hardworking? Are you ready to declare your citizenship? Are you ready to assimilate into the culture? Are you ready to be an American? Do you believe in the values we stand for? Did you come from a Venezuelan prison? Are you a part of MS-13 or Tren de Aragua? Because if you are, we don't want you. But yet we have entire gangs moving across our border. What in God's name is that about? You have known criminal offenders, multiple repeat deportees showing back up. You have sexual offenders. You've got violent criminals. Not all of them. I know that. But the fact that we have so many means we're taking in anybody who walks to the border. And that's got to stop. That is not a plan. Well, Phil, we hope for better things for them. Hope is not a plan. Hope can be a force enabler, but it is not a plan. Navy Phil from Athens says the AP News reports illegal use of motor voter to register in North Carolina and cannot be removed. That's interesting. Yeah, North Carolina found a bunch of people on their roll. So did Virginia. Wow. Robert from Hazel Green says, no doubt in my mind that Kareem. Okay, Robert, I hear it. I'm not going to insult Kareem. He's got a right to his opinion. And the bottom line is this. Kareem, keep calling in, man. I'm enjoying it. Karen from Decatur says, Haitians are also in Decatur. Thank the chicken plants. They started with Mexicans being bused into North Alabama. Now they're busing in Haitians. Maybe so. When people start standing up and saying enough's enough, then they'll know. Judy from Pinson sends me something. What'd you send me, Judy? Okay. You know what? In fact, Judy, I need to check with some friends of mine who are helping run that event because I just found out about that last night too. Jim from Grove Oak says, Democrats don't care if illegals show up to vote or not. All they need is a name in the ballot will be filled out for them, whether they know it or not. Yeah, no doubt. Shorty from Anderson says, Phil, Kareem just likes to hear himself talk. Okay. In his last statement, have you ever seen an American do drywall? He said, I drywall, and I have for the last 35 years, born and raised in America. I know, Shorty, I get it. And listen, the drywall team that built our house a few years ago, helped build our house, awesome. And yep, I get it. I totally do. And yes, I totally agree with you. Red from Tony says, 5% of 10 million is 500,000. I was totally off on my, I was like way off on my math. Thank you very much. And then he says, you'll eat anything if you're starving. That is true. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. I'm going to wrap this up because if I can get to it, I have a third dipper that I may want to do on a totally different topic. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.